Father, we just praise you for your presence in the room. We thank you. We thank you. You always are here with us. Just like Javier said, if we press into abiding, Father, you promise that you're going to take up residence and abide with us. So we just praise you and lift you up. We ask that you just settle in the room even further, Father, as we step in to talk about what you have for us in the next year as a body of believers. We praise you. We thank you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Amen. This is that time of year, and I get excited because if you've been around us very long, if you've been with us for any time, you know that at the end of the year, we're all getting excited because the Lord is taking us, he's giving us a glimpse of what's coming in the new year for us as a body of believers. So because we have newer people who have not kind of been through this process with us before, I'm going to give a little bit of background about where this comes from. Then we'll get into the word for the year. And it's going to be good. I'm so excited. And Pastor Tracy has a list of verses that she'll be bringing up for us. If you could bring up Zechariah 9:12, this is the verse that is the word is based on. Turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto you. So one of the things that over the years, as Chad was referring to, over the years as we've continued to press in, the Lord has really blessed us as far as teaching us, showing us what prophecy really looks like. And this is just a praise to the Lord, because there's many times when we go to, when we travel, whether it's here in the States doing ministry or whether we are in Africa, that we have learned that many people do really, truly don't understand what prophecy is. And we are a prophetic church. We are a fivefold church, but our fivefold was launched through that prophetic piece of fivefold. And we operate in a prophetic voice many, 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 many ways. And many congregations have not yet gotten there. And I'm not bragging. I'm praising the Lord for what he's doing here in the house. And I'm thanking him for it. Because we believe, according to, if you can go to Amos 3:7 and then Isaiah 40, too. I'm going to be using a lot of scripture. It's not normal for me, but I am going to be using several scripture because I want you to see it's in the word. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Remember, as we teach and teach, and whether it's Wednesday night or whether it's here in services or whether it's in small groups or mentoring or wherever, deliverance, over and over and over, we tell you, pay attention to the words that are significant when you're reading verses. In this particular verse, the word that's significant is nothing. God is talking. He says, I do nothing, zero, zip, nada, nothing, without telling somebody ahead of time. We believe that. I'm going to give you another verse because it's more than one place. We use this verse frequently, but it's in many places in the Bible that they say this. This is just another verse, Isaiah 42. Behold, the former things are come to pass. New things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. God wants you to know, as his people, he wants you to know what is coming. He wants you to know what he has prepared for you. He tells us we're his soldiers. If we're his soldiers, he's our general. A general strategizes, has a plan, he's laying it out, and then he tells his soldiers to carry out the directions. He tells the soldiers before they go out on the battlefield, because they have to know what they're going to be doing. So we believe in this place, in this house, that God tells us. He tells us as individuals, but he also gives us a corporate word as the body for us to move toward and through in the next coming year. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. The last year, and you saw the banner, you've come in the house, you've been here, it said abide, a full soaking saturation. Everyone will know. That was 2025. We're going to talk about 2026. But we do prophetic because prophetic is fourfold. In Corinthians, it says it's for encouraging. It's for edifying. It's for bringing comfort. But the fourth piece is this fourth telling where God tells us ahead of time what's coming, like these two verses, and we grab hold of it. That's our responsibility to grab hold of it, believe for it, and then follow it through. So I'm pretty excited about it. Pretty excited because it seems like earlier and earlier and earlier in the year, the Lord's dumping these words for the next year. And then I get antsy and I get so excited, I got to tell people. So probably most of you have already heard this word, but I'm going to explain it in a deeper level, hopefully this morning, because I'm going to tell you, Javier, this is abide on steroids. It is. This is abide number two. And I'm going to show you. I am. Such a great testimony. That whole phrase, if you take nothing out of today, if you only take one thing, I would tell you, you take what he said about God doesn't patch things, he fixes things. God doesn't patch, he fixes. One of the ways he fixes is he tells us what's coming, and we step into it. So, if you could go back to, let's just do this. If you could go back to that Zechariah verse for a minute. We're going to be jumping back and forth, but I want it in front of you. So we're going to kind of dissect this in segments today. Turn you to the stronghold. Now, we do deliverance. If you've been here, you know we do deliverance. A stronghold in terms of deliverance is a negative thing. A stronghold in deliverance is something like a fear. Or an unforgiveness, an anger, an offense. Those types of things. In Corinthians, we talk about strongholds. In this verse, that is not what this word means. In this verse, the stronghold is referring, and we're talking about God, turn you to the stronghold. In the Hebrew, the word means fortress. Turn you to your fortress. Now, I'm going to give you a couple verses. And again, there are many more in Scripture. But I want you to see it. Okay? So Psalms 18, 2 through 3. The Lord is my rock. What? My fortress. My deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler. Listen, Apostle, we just need him to do a whole little thing right on this verse and understanding all what these words really mean. Horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy, so shall I be saved. This is showing fortress. He's our fortress. 31:3, Psalm 31:3. Thou art my rock, my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me, guide me. There's so many in there, but we'll go back to Zechariah. So turn to your fortress. Turn to God. And we're going to be spending most of our time, because it's our word for the year, ye prisoners of hope. But I want you to understand this whole word starts with turning to God. And you're thinking, oh, I already do that. Well, deep calls unto deep. We need to continually keep turning back to him, continually coming in, continually pushing for more, continually saying, Lord, it's not enough. I need more of you. Turn. This is a present verb. Doesn't say turned. Doesn't say will turn. It's a present verb. Turn continually. Keep coming back to me. Keep coming back to my... And that's what sets us up, because that is really the essence of where we were in 25, was abiding, turning back into him. Okay? So we're going to look at this next phrase, you prisoners of hope. Now, first I want you to get this idea in your head. If you hear the word prisoner, what do you see in your mind? Somebody. Chains, bars. Somebody said bars. You do. You see yourself. I see myself sitting in this cage. And all the way around me on four sides, north, south, east, west, I have bars. I cannot get away from it. It's enclosed. And it says hope. But again, because we teach you, get into your strongs. There's so many tools on the internet for you to understand what the words mean. Because in the Hebrew, they're not limited by, it's not like English. English, you might get a word that has a couple definitions. In the Hebrew, you can have one word and have several definitions. This word, hope, in the Hebrew, literally means expectation. You prisoner, caged in, surrounded all the way around you by expectation. It's pretty cool. You can't get away from it. You try. You ain't got no lock. You're prisoner. You're stuck. I want to give you definitions. And I want you to think, as I'm giving you these definitions, I want you to think about, when I heard that word prisoner, I kept thinking, oh my gosh, this, and then the whole fortress thing. It took me back to like medieval times, and they would put one of their prisoners up in this tower. And it says God, you know, some of the definitions, strong tower, that's one of the definitions of that word, that if you looked up definition for a fortress, it would say one of the things would be a strong tower. You're encapsulated. You can't get away from it. God is surrounding you all the way, and this is this expectation. But I want to give you the difference, because sometimes, and as I've chewed on this and thought on this and processed on this over the last several months, I'm thinking, how do we help each other understand the difference between hope and expectation? Tracy, Pastor Tracy, do you have that, like both the definitions of the two, like that I had at the, okay, like I want you to see this. Hope, emotional state, reflecting a desire for a positive outcome. Emotional state. Okay? It's not tangible. You just have this emotion. Go to the next, the expectation. Based on a belief or a certainty, not an emotional state, something will happen due to past experience. Do you get the difference? One is just emotion. One is based on experience. Joel, will you come up here? I'm going to embarrass my son. Come on up here. Come on. Just come on. Come on. I want to give you a visual. Okay? He didn't know I was doing it. Come on up here. I want everybody to see you. Okay? He comes in my house. And I'm hoping that he gives me a hug. He he laughed. You see that? That's why I got to hope for it. See it? I'm just hoping. There's nothing there. It's not driving it. There's nothing, like, I can't create it. I don't have any basis other than emotion. I just want a hug. It's just an emotional state. I'm hoping he comes up and gives me a hug. Versus an expectation based on belief, certainty, something will happen. Because when this kid comes in my house, if he is in a good frame of mind and I see it on his face when he walks in, and because I see it on his face, because I have an experience with him over what, how many years? A long time. Because I have an experience with him, when I see a certain look on his face, I have a certainty through experience that I am going to get one of these kinds of hugs. Nobody hugs like Joel. You see the difference? This is, I'm just hoping. I could see it on his face. I could hope all day. If his face ain't right, I ain't getting it. I'm not even getting close. I'm not. But when I fix your face, fix your face. But when I see this certain look because of experience, I have a certainty in my head I'm going to get that kind of hug. I don't even have to ask for it. I just know I'm getting it. I'm just waiting. Thank you. Oh, you can do that again later. Okay. Give me 2 feet. Like, do you see the difference? Expectation is at a whole different level. It's at a different place. So when we say prisoners of hope, because the word really in the Hebrew means expectation, they're saying you are surrounded with a certainty, an absolute certainty, because you've been at this place before with the Lord. Your experience is telling you that he's going to move on your behalf. Doesn't matter what it is. It's why we do testimonies. Why we have an open mic. People ask, what are you going to do as the church grows? I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to have to figure it out, because we cannot overcome, we cannot let go of testimonies, because Revelations tells us that one of the ways we overcome is by the word of our testimony. Revelations 12, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We can't let go of testimony. Testimony is expectation that's spoken. It teaches you. It pours into your inner man. Whether it's you giving a testimony or you hearing somebody else's testimony, it is building an expectation in you. It is helping you move from hope to expectation, from an emotional state to a certainty. Because you've seen it done again, which is what testimony means. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. It's crucial. So this prisoner of expectation where you're caged in it's going to sink in. Maybe not all today, but over the course of the year, we're going to see this happen. So Peter Gazzaro, when we talk about expectation and the difference between the hope and expectation, you know, hope is usually unspoken. Hope, because it's an emotional state, is usually something that we're clinging on to inside of ourselves and we're hesitant to share or to speak it out. Peter Gazzaro, we did a series quite a ways back on being emotionally healthy. Because that's when Javier said he doesn't patch, he fixes. We're talking on all levels. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically. We're talking all the way around. This is not a patch job. That was so good. Like, that is a spirit moving in somebody. And it resonates. Peter Gazzaro says that expectations have to be spoken, because otherwise they are unmet. Again, that's why we do testimonies. We're speaking it out. The Lord wants to hear. He says, how many times have you heard? You've heard it even today, many times. Call on me, I will answer you. That's God talking to you. Call on me, speak it out. We have verses, one of them, Isaiah 57:19, if you'd bring that one up. And I just want to show you these things are in here. I create the fruit of the lips. This is the Lord talking. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that's far off, to him that is near, says the Lord. Dugan, I will heal. There's that verse. Speaking it out. Hope lies dormant, quiet within us many times. Expectations have to be spoken out. I want to tell you how we got to this, and you're going to see. God does, I'm telling you, you've heard me say it before. He multitasks. He is always doing something at a deeper level than what we are getting right at first. Because it was back, it was way early. Like way early this year, because I shared this with Apostle and he's like, it's too early. You already got it already. I'm sure it might change. I'm like, nope, it ain't changing. I can tell you it ain't changing. This is it. This is it. So, well, and I had it before that. So I want to explain to you the deeper things in this word, because that held captive by expectation, the word for 2026 is much deeper than that. What the Lord has in store for this house, it's kind of mind-blowing. And we've been on this journey a long time, but this one set me back. Just going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. So I want to take you first. I want to walk you through the story of how it evolved and what the Lord showed me. I had the word. Had it written down, had the banner already starting to be worked. I'm thinking, this is what it is. Okay, good word. Ha, little did I know. Little did I know. So remember, in this abiding year, this 2025, and we had a full soaking saturation, everyone will know, okay? An apostle is speaking on abiding, and it was 2 months ago to the day, I think 9 weeks maybe, but it was October 26th, the last Sunday in October. I look back in my notes. He spoke on 2 John 1:9. Pastor Tracy, if you'd bring that up. He spoke on this word. Whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And some of you remember that message. You can go back on the website and look at it and listen if you want to. But anyways, as he was preaching that message, he said somewhere in there that rocked my little world, that abiding in this verse, in both of those abides, means dwelling place of expectancy. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, my gosh. Like, he'll tell you I don't pay attention half the time when he's preaching anyways, because I'm sitting down here and I'm kind of listening and getting things from the Lord while he's talking. And that's probably a true statement, because when he said that to me, I could have cared less what he did with the rest of the sermon, because my mind went instantly to our word for the year. And I'm like, oh no, he didn't. He didn't just tell me that the word abiding that we have been working on all year means dwelling place of expectation. Because I'm like, remember kingdom people, and we are kingdom people. Kingdom people are supposed to be curious. Kingdom people are supposed to ask a lot of questions. Kingdom people are supposed to press in to learn more. Why? What's our verse? Proverbs 25:2. Bring it up. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. It's the honor of kings to search it out. So I'm already going, oh, no, no, I have to understand what he's doing here, because he's doing something bigger than what I even got my head around, because this man who's preaching on abiding, which is the word 2025, just told me that the definition for abiding in those verses is a dwelling place of expectancy, and I know that the word for 26 is held captive by expectation. And because our verse says it's the honor of kings to search it out, God's going to conceal it. It's for our responsibility to ask questions and figure out what he's doing. He's told somebody. But if he ain't told me, then I got to do my work. I got to search it out. I got to get into it. Revelations 5:10. I want it, because some of you are newer, I want you to see this. God has made unto our God kings. He has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we reign on the earth. He made us kings. So the verse in Proverbs, a king is to search it out. That's me and you. Okay? You getting it? You seeing? This is our responsibility. So when I got home from that Sunday in October 26, 2 months ago, I'm like, what I got, how am I going to do this? I'm going to go through every, I'm going to look up every word abiding in the New Testament and see how many times that word abide or abideth or abiding, how many times does it mean dwelling place of expectancy? You know what I found out? Oh, this is amazing. Again, blew me right out of the water. Every place that Jesus was talking, every time Jesus is talking, red letter. You got your Bible, you got a red letter version where it's red when Jesus is talking. When he says abide, it means dwelling place of expectancy. Every single time. Now I'm really getting excited. Because this is abiding on steroids. This is an extension. We've never had an extension. Every year it's something different. He's taken us a different direction. This is the first year we got an extension. He's saying, let's do some more. This was so good. I just want you to do some more. So good. I want to give you an example of what this looks like. So can we do John 15:7? I'm just going to pull out this. Mark, this is one of my favorite verses. Okay, so if you're a Wednesday night person, it's a joke between Wednesday night and myself. I always, whatever verse I'm in front of is my favorite verse. This is one of them. Truly, okay? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, Jesus is talking. This is red letter. Ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. So what it's really saying, because it's me and Jesus. Jesus is talking to me. I'm reading. He's talking to me. He's talking to you if you're reading it. He's going, if you would just expect some things with me, and I'll expect some things from you, guess what? We got some things we're going to get done. This is a twofold. It goes back and forth. This is not just us expecting. This is God expecting from you. This is a twofold direction. You getting that? This is back and forth. I think that's pretty amazing. Like what? Like we know, we talk about this in the house. We talk about that God, from the day that you were put into your mother's womb, when you were just conceived, that God looked at you and said, I have a plan for your life. I'm going to pour into you at this moment everything that you need to achieve the plan that I have for you. I'm going to give you your personality. I'm going to give you your height and your weight and your looks. I'm going to give you your intelligence. I'm going to give you skill sets. Maybe you're good with your hands. Maybe you're an engineer. I can't, like, it's a joke in my house. I can't even screw in a light bulb correctly. I'll get it all messed up. My 8-year-old grandson is much more of an engineer than I will ever be. And our joke at our house is, if God wanted me to do it, he would have put it into me when I was conceived, and he didn't, so I'm not stressing it. He gave you at the moment that you were conceived everything that you needed. And so he has a right to expect that you're going to function in that. Just like we have an expectancy right because he is our heavenly Father. And he says, call on me, I will answer you. I have an expectation. When I call to him, I have an expectancy that he's going to answer me. He says, don't I know how to give good gifts to my children? I have an expectancy. This is like the story of Job. Okay, because God does not change. We did that song. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when I was thinking about sharing today, the story of Job kept coming to my mind because you know the story. It gives us a glimpse of what goes on in heaven, and we could get into it because it's still going on today because it talks about it in Revelations. But just for stick with Job. So here we are. God is on the throne. Satan comes into the throne room. Okay, your gifts and calling are not revocable. So Satan still has access. He can come to the throne room, and he's sitting there saying to God, oh, you know what? If you just let me do whatever I want to do to Job, he will cave. He will fall like a house of cards. He will curse you. He will not represent you. And God, he's been dwelling in an expectancy, him and Job going back and forth. And because he has this belief and certainty through experience about who Job is, okay? There's that difference between hope and expectancy. God knew that he knew that he knew that he knew that Job was his man through experience. Job was not going to let him down. And so he said, yeah, sure, go ahead. Sit back and watch. Because I know Job. That's what this is like. This back and forth, this dwelling in expectancy, this is a two-way thing between you expecting from your Father and God expecting from his children. When you give the car keys to your children, you expect they're going to follow the rules. They're not going to speed. They're not going to be reckless. You have an expectation. It's no different than the Heavenly Father. He gave us things, and he said, this is yours. You are the steward of these things. Whether it's your job, your family, your witness, the role that you play within our church family, you have an expectancy that the Lord is looking for you to step into. He has a belief, a certainty in you. And we have one of him. That's why this, if you go back to Zechariah, this is why this is such a word. This word, you prisoners of hope, you prisoners of expectancy. This is why this is abiding. This is a continue. Are you getting it? Are you following me? That this is a continuation of abiding at a deeper level. Deep calls unto deep. This is not just, oh, this is a nice word and we're going to do it for 2026. The Lord is saying to us, listen, because of my certainty in you, because of my experience with you, because my belief in you, because I saw what you did with when I gave you this word abide, I want more of it. I want to take you to a whole nother place. I want deep calling under deep. We hit the surface last year. Now I want something much better for you. I want to go to Jeremiah if we could, just 29:11. This is a familiar verse. But this is the King James. Now, if you read it in a different version, it's not going to have the word expected. But in the King James, the word expected is there. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you an expected end. You know what? We read this verse all the time, and we usually do it in the NIV or something else. It's some other version. And listen, I'm all about reading different versions, and I'm not slamming versions. I'm just telling you that you got to read several versions because this many times is read, I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans for good. Totally leaves out the word expected. Totally leaves it out. Expected a place of certainty, belief through experience. I have plans. I have my thoughts towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. I'm telling you, oh my gosh. So let's read the last part of that verse. We'll go back to Zechariah again. Prisoners of expectation. Even today do I declare. Why is that important? What do we say? Expectations are spoken. Expectations are spoken out. We already said a lot of times when we hope, We just do it inside of ourselves. God is saying, oh, no, 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 no. We're talking about expectation. We're going to declare it. Because I already showed you the verse. I create from the fruit of the lips. We have to declare this. This is not something that can be silent. And God says, I'm going to declare this. I'm just going to say it right out there because I have an expectation. You're going to be surrounded with this certainty all year long that I am working on your behalf. What do you right now to yourself, what do you need God to hear you say about certainty and expectation? Is it, Do you need your finances straightened around? Do you need a relationship set in order? Not patched, fixed? What is it? What expectation? Just one. Start with one. What is it that you're looking toward and going, because of my experience with the Lord? Because I know him, because I have a relationship with him, because he loves me, because I know when I call on him, he's going to answer, because I know that he has good thoughts, not bad thoughts, that he has plans for me, because I know that he's put everything in me that I need to achieve this. This is my, I have an expectation, Lord. Because what he promises, and listen, it's pretty open-ended. What he says after he declares, he says, I'm going to declare, I'm going to double it. I'm going to double it. What do you need? Let's just do something simple, okay? Not to do money, but money's simple. Because within the book, within God's book, within the Bible, you've heard apostles say the one thing that you can be absolutely, absolutely, absolutely 100% on is your tithing. God says give 10% to him. You keep 90% for yourself. That's what he says. He just wants 10%. You can be 100% faithful in doing the 10%. It's an expectation that God has for us. This back and forth. Jesus and us and Jesus. That's an expectation God has for his children. If we meet that expectation, I'll render double. Now, I'm not prosperity preaching. I'm just giving you the word. Because when you're good stewards with what God gives you, he will give you more to manage. That's scriptural. We reap what we sow. And you always sow more than you reap. You put a kernel of corn in the ground and it grows, and you don't get just one ear of corn. You'll get four or five on a stalk. So this whole idea of rendering double back to you. How about an expectation? God put gifting in you. How about if you start to figure that out and you start to use it within the church, outside of the church? What's he going to do? He's got an expectation you're going to use it. You have an expectation God is going to use you. When you both do your part, it doubles. You want God to use you? You want to be a force to be reckoned with? You want the darkness to tremble when you step into a place? You want to be in that Acts 19 place where when the demons were talking and they said, oh, Paul we know, Jesus we know. You? I don't know you. You can be the person that the demons know because of your gifting. Doesn't have to be deliverance. It could be because of your giving. It could be because of your hospitality. It could be because of your administration. Any of your gifting. See this, this is such a deep place we're going to this year. We're going to have to simmer on this a while. There is this, the Lord says, I'm going to give you double back. Double. How hungry are you? Do you really want it? Do you want to go to another place, level, another, like, level? I hate to use the word level up, but do you want to go to this other place, like, where you sit back and you go, oh, my gosh, I don't even know who I am because I never dreamed I'd be doing this. I never dreamed that God would use me this way. I never thought for one minute that this would be me. That's what happens when we are prisoners. When we are held captive by expectation. It's this place where it's back and forth, abiding with the Lord, spending. What happens if you have this expectation? How about, let's just talk about another one. How about you have a rift with your family somehow? How about you have a rift with your family somehow? And you have this. You start talking to the Lord. Lord, I know. I've seen you do this in other families. I've seen you straighten out other families and mend those broken relationships, those broken fences. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I have heard the testimonies. And because my belief is that you are not a respecter of persons and what you did for them, you'll do for me, I have an expectation, Lord, that if I lean into you and I continue to be who you called me to be, my expectation is you're going to show me how to do this with my family. Because it says he is the repairer of the breach. It's one of his titles in Jeremiah. The repairer of the breach. I put back the old foundations and I rebuild them. That's what he says. So I have an expectation of that, Lord, because you tell me that's who you are. And look at my family is a mess. So we have this expectation, and so we start calling on him and asking him to show us. And because this is back and forth, and the expectation is from him that we call on him, and then he answers. We get double. I don't know what double in a relationship looks like, but it's got to be pretty good. It's got to be pretty good. How about you're trying to decide what you're going to do with your life? You're still trying to figure out, I don't think I'm in the right job, or I don't think I'm in the right with the right company, or I don't think, I'm not sure, Lord, I'm not settled. I don't think this is where you have me. How about this expectation that you start talking to him about, look, you told me that my path is laid out. You told me you already had plans for me. So, Father, I'm calling on you. And he's going, yep, and I'm going to answer you, and I'm going to show you, because this expectancy thing that we got going on is back and forth. Because we're like this. They talked about the cord. Cord. We're like this. Let me show you. Let me double it back to you. And the best part, like, this is all so good, but the best part is way over here. Because abiding on steroids, second year of abiding, this is the extension, this stays. Everyone will know. We're going to do both of these. We're going to hang out in this place, be held by expectation of what God's going to do. We're going to call it out. We're going to speak it out. We're going to call on him to show us. We're going to keep doing our testimonies. We're going to keep pressing in, keep into this abiding. And as he renders double, everybody's going to know. I get all choked up. I'm going to start crying if I don't stop, because I'm telling you, this has rattled me in such a good way. Such a good way. The worship team, would you guys come? I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to ask you, just as they come, and as we, you know, we're going to be talking about this as we move forward. We're going to be doing more and more of this. Delving into it deeper. Altar's open. All I want is just ask yourself, go back to that question. Where do I need to start with this? Do I struggle with having certainty and belief that God will move on my behalf? That's the starting place. Am I struggling with that? Am I still residing in hope? And if I'm just residing in hope, Lord, how do I move to that deeper place? How do I move from a place from hoping, an emotional state, hoping, wishing, looking for a positive outcome? How do I move from that to having a belief and a certainty based on my experience that God's going to move on my behalf? That's your first question. Am I in hope or am I in expectancy? That's your first starting place. Pastor Betty, if you would come up, be on that over there. If you're in that place, and listen, that's okay. Because that gives us a starting place. Because I know, as we press into this more and more, God's going to move you to that expectation place. But if you are there, we got to start working on that first. If you're in that place, come over and have Pastor Betty pray with you. And Pastor Betty, if you get long-winded with somebody, you get somebody else to help you, okay? Okay. So if you're in that place, you're in that hope place, but you want to move to expectation, you come have prayer with her. If you're like, no, I've seen God move and I know what he can do and I've experienced it. I just need to press in, and Lord, you show me where my next step is with this expecting. Show me the next spot. The altar's open. If you want somebody to pray with you about it, Apostle's here. He will find somebody. You just tell him you want somebody to pray with you. and he will get somebody. But the altar's open. Spend time. Just ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be in this place of certainty with you and what you have in my life. And I want you to look at me, Lord, like you looked at Job and you just said, Job's got this because I know him. Because I have a certainty and an experience with him. Start with one thing and ask him to start as we jump into 2026. Jump in. Lord, take me there. Show me the first steps, because I'm telling you, the Lord loves you. He has plans for you. He wants to prosper you. Everybody's going to know. If you need to slip out, slip out. We're going to just linger, tarry here until we're done. Excited about where God's taken us. Father, we just praise you. Speak to our hearts. Show us application, Lord.